Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bat of the Bone Award, we do it after Eagles games. We've actually now started doing it after Phillies playoff games as well. When they win, it's a game ball. When they lose, it's a blame ball. So it's the bad kind of bad. Now that's coming up in 1 minute's time because, John, I know you got a message, and then in 1 minute we get to our answers to the bad to the bone award.
Are you ready to pop the big question? Have you started shopping for that engagement ring? I know you have lots of options, the mega corporate chains, thousands of internet sites, but is it cheap you're looking for or is it value? I want you to head over to Benari Jewelers and meet with my friends there before you make any decisions. They have two locations, Exton and Newtown Square. At Benari, you can buy with confidence and without compromise. I just visited with them. I was blown away by hand-selected diamonds from the world's premier diamond cutters, handcrafted rings from the most sought-after designers, a lifetime of free service, including sizing and cleaning, and to top it all off, Benari Jewelers offers an industry-leading 110% diamond upgrade guarantee. That means your natural diamond will never lose value when you're ready to upgrade. Why settle for cheap when you can have extraordinary? Discover Benari Bridal at Benari Jewelers at Exton in Newtown Square and online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, so it's the bad version of the Bat of the Bone Award. They play bad, and we note who was, you know, amongst the worst. John, you got first crack at it. Where are you going today?
Alec Bohm. I've mentioned it a few times today. Alec Bohm saw four at-bats yesterday. He saw five pitches in those four at-bats. In his last six at-bats, he's seen eight pitches. Remember, he was benched for game two, and it just made his mindset worse. I guess Topper thought it could help. Yesterday, he did continue to put the ball out there. You know, nice hit in the gap and thrown out at second because he made a boneheaded decision because his head's not right. Weak-minded, and he proved that he should not be trusted to play. This is a massive responsibility, and I don't think he's ready for it.
All right, Devin, a lot of people to choose from. Who are you going with?
So I was between taking just the first four guys in the lineup, but I'm actually going to go with someone who is the best catcher in baseball. He is just not producing offensively like he used to. JT Realmuto, if you look at what he's done through this series, he's walked once, and it was in Saturday's game. And that's it. That's all he's done offensively.
That is something.
It is unacceptable, especially for where he is in the lineup. I need to see something from JT.
And I didn't think he was great with calling the game for Aaron Nola.
I thought it was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the announcers were talking. It was a horrible broadcast, by the way. But the announcers kept talking about they were so bad. I could, honestly, I'm not like a, they were exceptionally a bad broadcast. But they kept saying, fastball first pitch, they're sitting. On it. They're sitting on it. Yep. Why do you keep throwing that pitch? Why are you throwing it on the outside of the plate? Throw the pitch low and inside. They're not. Yeah. They're giving him the strike and no one's hitting it. And JT kept setting up there and calling that pitch. I thought JT was awful.
Right, so JT, a worthy answer, obviously. Seltzer, bat of the bone to who?
Yeah, obviously there's so many options for this, but I'm going to the top, man. I'm going to Bryce Harper. That was in the biggest moment of the game, Bryce Harper swung feebly on three straight pitches after spending the whole postgame pass the baton. How many times did Bryce say it? Four times? Mm-hmm. Pass the baton. This is all about keep moving along. And he didn't, in the most important spot, when the two guys in front of him took walks for the first time all game. Guys took walks. We have two base runners on, and Bryce Harper goes up there and swings feebly at three straight pitches. That was the game there.
All right, Rhea, who's the blame ball go to?
I feel like it's improper if someone doesn't at least blame the manager. So here's where I will blame Rob Thompson. He left Aaron Nola in too long. He left Alvarado definitely in too long. Because at that point, seventh inning, it's just a 4-0 game. It's not totally out of reach at that point. And Alvarado, he gets the two outs. He takes the ball off his foot. And then you bring Ruiz in. Explain to me why you're bringing him in at that point. It made no sense to me whatsoever.
I think at that point it was like the games were, you know, and I can't waste my some problem something here.
With Topper.
Yeah, there was some of that. So, all right, look, I got one guy I'm going to zero in on because I think he has to be said after, you know, five people get a crack at it. But the honorable mentions to Austin Hayes.
Yeah, Austin Hayes.
To Dombrowski for the Austin Hayes acquisition and the Whit Merrifield signing. To Rojas, who stinks. To Alvarado, who was a disaster last night. Now maybe he was affected getting hit by the pitch on the foot, but you know by the ball. But the
then take him out. Don't let him take. Don't let. I would have taken him out immediately. I don't care what he said.
I know. I
was like, I don't care if he thinks he's.
I agree.
That was incredible.
Manage.
I agree, but the guy I'm going to go to me the biggest blame ball from last night. His name was probably said 20 times more than anyone else's name on our show yesterday. Is Aaron Nola. It was a huge spot in the season. It was a huge spot in his career. Was he a disaster? No. Was he good? No. He was not good. Final stat line is not good. It's five innings. It's four runs. And, you know, I said it a million times yesterday. This is why you pay a guy $170 million. And he didn't deliver yesterday. Period. End of story. He did not deliver yesterday. Now, I'm not saying throw him out. Okay? He's the game two starter next year when the season begins. That's how it goes. He's a heck of a pitcher, but last night he did not deliver, and he really set back not only this series, this season, but you can make a big case he set back this era of Phillies baseball last night.
Especially going up against what Manaea did. Like when you parallel it against that, their ace going out and just freaking dealing.
All right, let's go to the phones. There's a lot happening here. A lot is on last night. There's also a good amount looking ahead to tonight. Obviously, there's another game now in less than 12 hours. Matter of fact, it's in like whatever the hell it is, 9.5 hours. It's here on WIP, 5 o'clock. Maybe that's 10.5 hours, whatever that is.
I don't know that I'm ready. I don't.
Well, I feel the same way, John.
I'm dreading it. I have a pit in my stomach.
That's the problem. When you say how imminent this game is,
that's why
I felt the same way, dude.
I felt the same way.
I don't feel like I'm ready because the team's not ready. I'm fearful right now, like you were yesterday, the camera. I think you're rubbing off. I think it's clear you need to remove this costume.
Well, also, and you said it yesterday, but
settle
like,
down, Devin.
Like one thing we haven't mentioned today is just the app. I mean, this is all a bummer, but the bummer of them wasting that magical game in game two to have that comeback and to have that moment and the whole walk-off and the beauty of it all, and then to come back and lay an egg the next game. Like, it's just, it's
wasting
it, like,
game
adds,
two, wasting a season.
That too, of course. I'm just saying, like, in the moment, like, it's just, it adds to the level of depression
all
I
right.
feel this morning.
There's a lot happening here. We go heavy on the phones. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, your reaction.
Multifaceted.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is negative. I can't take another. I know Sean Manaea made an adjustment to his delivery, whatever. But making these and prior to this miraculous adjustment, he's a mediocre pitcher, and he's still at a 3.5 ERA. So it's not like he's a world beater. We made him look like Randy Johnson last night. That's number one.
Yep.
And just sit on the freaking sweeper, draw walks. But even if we did that, which of the right-handed batters were going to drive those guys in? Like,
well, that's the problem for tonight, Ed. That's the problem for tonight. This conversation we're having about who to start, let's be real. Almost all of us, when we give an answer, are giving it with a, I hate to use this word, grimace. Because it's
you got to find a different word.
I know.
A frown. How about that?
You know,
please.
it's like, I mean, think about it. I'm choosing in center field between Marsh and freaking Rojas. And I can't do Rojas anymore. I absolutely cannot do Austin Hayes anymore. I mean, I'm talking about playing a guy in Weston Wilson who's never played in a big game ever for the Phillies, ever.
Who was in the, like, prospect guy. He's like a 26th guy on the roster.
Let's get a guy that just has no idea about anything, is not thinking at all. And maybe he'll provide a spark.
And we all think he should play tonight. That's where we're at. Like, no one in this room, no one listening to us doesn't think that Wes Wilson...
As desperate as it gets. It feels like this is all but lost. I don't feel that way.
Hold on. I want to be clear. John.
I feel like the Mets are going to ratchet up the intensity, and they're going to say, because they know if it comes back here,
there's blood in the water.
There's really a chance that they lose to this series. They know they got to lock it down tonight. That's why I think they're pulling out all the stops tonight. Also, we're talking about pitching Zach Wheeler. We're talking about Zach Wheeler coming out of the bullpen.
But hold on, they're going to do that stuff too. Ed, what John just said about 30 seconds ago is why I'm starting Zach Wheeler tonight. Period.
Yeah, why I'm starting Zach Wheeler tonight, I think of the movie Groundhog Day. It's like, what if there's no tomorrow? There wasn't one today. I think it's really, we have two one-game series, but I'm just trying to coach myself.
Ed, I'll tell you this, and good call. I was disappointed that Rob Thompson was not asked after the game last night who was starting tomorrow night. Now, he was asked it the prior day.
And he was asked, will Zach Wheeler be available?
Yes. And so I want to play that audio here because he did address Wheeler's availability for tonight. It's a good question. I think there should have been a follow-up. Who is starting?
Or will you consider starting him or something along those lines?
To see if he would change his answer. But here is what, the only thing that Rob Thompson said after the game on this whole topic last night was this exchange.
Would you have Wheeler available out of the bullpen tomorrow?
I think everybody's available tomorrow.
Now, look, I'm glad to know everyone's available, and certainly he should be. I'm just telling you guys, and it took me a long time to arrive at this conclusion, I go with Wheeler because I trust him the most. And I don't think on one short day of rest, he's a disaster. He may not be totally crisp, but I don't think he's a disaster. And I can pivot to Ranger out of the bullpen, who's more used to pitching out of the bullpen from prior experience. Not to mention, I do have Hoffman and Strom, who didn't pitch yesterday. Not to mention, you can go to your Kirkrins and all that if you got to piece it together. I just ask you, who do you trust more tonight?
But it's the problem that it was 111 pitches.
I understand,
very
John.
Recently,
I understand.
And it feels like if they're putting Ranger out there, they know that. I mean, I would hope that they know.
They put Austin Hayes out there last night, man. I don't trust them to know anything.
I feel like Ranger starting, seeing what he has. Zach Wheeler coming out and fixing it, if necessary, is less taxing on Zach Wheeler after 111 pitches 3 days ago.
Well, what you're doing is hedging your bet, and I respect it from this standpoint. If Ranger pitches well enough and goes deep enough, then you feel you don't need to utilize Zach Wheeler.
Exactly.
I totally get it. I can use him
when we bring it back here and beat them in the final game.
It's not an unreasonable argument. I mean, I do think it's kind of a flip of the coin. I really do. But I just say to myself, who do I trust the most? And my answer is Zach Wheeler.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.